All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy, your watch and your care over us, Father. We thank you again for all that you do for us. Help us to be faithful to you, to bring glory and honor to you, to represent you upon this earth, Father. Help us again, guard us from the pitfalls, Father, that are all around us. Help us to take heed to the things we've heard this morning. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I was really encouraged with the thoughts of wisdom this morning that the young people brought out and that was in the boys' lesson. It was just a real blessing to ponder that just for a little bit. Goes well with the thoughts that I had about following the Lord. I want to first extend the greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. There's a song that we sing sometimes that talks about when I think of the Lord of glory and what he did and his death on the cross, how he died there and was brought to shame, and what can I offer? What do I have? What do I have to give? There's nothing. And that is where humility comes in. It's not because we go around with our head hanging low and think we're nothing. Humility is whenever we can reflect on God, and no matter how many things we've done, no matter how many good things we may think that we've done, no matter how many bad things we think we've avoided, our heart can just bow its head in the front of the Lord and say, here am I. I'm nothing. I have nothing to offer. And that is the heart of what I want to talk about. This little song we sang, Can You Count the Stars? You know, if we just truly get a glimpse of how big God is, we see ourselves as so small. Whenever we see it truly, I mean, we can put on this false humility and just say all the words right and just have everything down pat. But when we can get a vision of who God is and his greatness, this little song, you know, you can just imagine a child worrying about something before he goes to bed. I used to go to bed worried every night something bad was going to happen. I'd just worried all the time. But could I count the stars and tell their number? Could I tell how many little fishes are in the stream? Not at all. But God does. God knows them. Just those things. Humility, this kind of humility, is the foundation of Christianity. We get it all mixed up sometimes. We try to figure out the theology of Christianity. And the Bible tells us clearly that knowledge puffeth up. Whenever we think that we have something figured out, we begin to exalt ourselves above someone who doesn't have it figured out. We forget that one day we were right where they were. But as soon as we think we have something figured out that no one else does, we puff ourselves all up. We've missed. I think that's what the Bible talks about, to remember what got you following the Lord. And how is the verse? I'm having trouble with verses. But remember from where you began and where we began following the Lord, if it didn't begin at this humility, then we don't have anything. If it began with theology, if it began with us doing some act that we think is religious, we missed it. It begins with this humility of seeing God who He is and ourselves in the place that He sees us. That's where it begins. And no matter how far you go in your Christian life, if you leave that, you have missed everything. I don't care how big a performance you can put on. I don't care what Bible you can quote. I don't care how much Greek and Latin and Hebrew you can translate and understand. It doesn't matter how holy you live. If you forget that, it is all vanity and vain. If we could just get a hold of that one little thing, then we could look at others and we wouldn't look down our nose at them. We could look at others and we wouldn't think we were better than they were. We could look at others and we could see ourselves first and the mess we are and how we have nothing to say whenever we stand before the Lord. We're not going to stand before the Lord and say, oh, look what they did. Look what they did. Look how they treated me. Look at this. Look at that. We're going to stand before the Lord with our heads bowed and say, Lord, have mercy on me. That's all there is. Does that mean we don't need to know a little about God? Does it mean we don't need to know what the Bible says? No, not at all. Does it mean we don't have to obey the Lord? Does it mean there's no use in even trying to obey Him? No, not at all. We obey Him because we love Him. We obey the Lord not because we're trying to impress Him or impress someone else or to do good works. We obey the Lord because that is who we are and He is who He is. We obey the Lord because He's worthy to be listened to. He's worthy to hear. He's worthy to whatever He says, Lord, help me do it. We may not be able to do it. We may not know what to do. But we can come to the Lord with that heart and say, Lord, You're the Lord. And I may not even like this, but You're the Lord, not me. That's why we obey the Lord. Not so we can get to heaven and impress Him. Not because we can be religious or feel better about ourselves. Because that's not the goal. They talk about esteem. Some people have a high esteem of themselves. Some people have a low esteem of themselves. And they're both miserable. But to have zero esteem of yourself and just simply take the Lord at His word, listen to the Lord who speaks from above. That's where the wisdom comes in. You know, a lot of times we have the idea that wisdom, we've talked a lot about wisdom this morning. The boys had a lot of good verses about wisdom, and the lesson was good about wisdom. What's the first thing we think about when we think of wisdom? We think of somebody that's smart, don't we? We think of somebody that's, boy, they got the answers. And we think it's some kind of intellectual power that God has given us. They've got things figured out. And we think that's wisdom. But that is not what wisdom is. That's knowledge that the world offers. That's worldly wisdom. And there's no value, godly value in it. Wisdom is you and I simply hearing from God and walking in the light He has given us. That is wisdom. That's what we need to seek after. To be able to have the ability, the heart, to keep ourselves in the place, the humble place that we need to be, and just hear God and put it into practice. Then when someone asks of you what this is all about, you don't say, well, I studied over there at Harvard, or I went to school over there in Tulsa, or wherever you want to go to school at. That's not what you say when you have wisdom. The answer that you have to give to someone that asks of you is, I just listen to the Lord. And the answers that you have available to give to someone are not something you learn in a book. It's wisdom that just comes from being a human being, humble enough to submit himself to the Lord. And it explodes on people's mind how profound and simple it is. A wise man is not someone that can sit down and figure out everything. A wise man often just has to say, I don't know what to do right now. But I'm going to wait on the Lord and let him show me something. You see, we think the wise guy is the one you go, you know, you got a problem, you go ask him a question, and he just tells you the answer right away, and you go off whistling, and he goes back up, sits on the hill in his robe, and just sits there and waits for the next guy to come ask him a question. That's not wisdom. Wisdom is listening to the Lord, hearing his voice, and often, more often than not, looking like a dummy while you're waiting for him to give you an answer. And I don't know how many people have gone away because I didn't have an answer for them. And I told them just to wait. And they went away, and they figured it out on their own, and completely made a mess of their lives. Wisdom is something that comes from above. And you cannot manipulate what comes from above. You have to wait for it. It's a gift. It's something that's given you. And that isn't that what everything that we have comes from above? Isn't everything we have given us? How can we exalt ourselves and think that we have something better than anyone else? How can we think that we have got anything better than anybody else? If anything the church needs, this world today, if anything the world needs today, is just some simple wisdom, some simple light. Not all the flash, not all the bangs, and not all the boom, and not all that. Just some simple humility of one man or one woman, or a group of men or a group of women, humbling themselves and walking in the fear of the Lord. Just walking, waiting on him. You know what the world will see? The world will see somebody, well, you won't listen to me. Here, I've got the answers. You need to listen to me. The world will see somebody proud, somebody arrogant, somebody that's stubborn, somebody that just don't listen to the smart guys. They don't follow the general pattern of everything being figured out that we all have figured out and got our own little box. Why there's 20,000 different denominations, because we've all got it figured out for ourselves, and nobody else can belong to us because they haven't figured it out the way we did yet. But just someone that's willing to wait on the Lord, look a little foolish for a while, look like maybe they don't have the answers, but be ready to do them when they come. See, it's one thing to ask for wisdom and wait on wisdom, but it's another thing that when it comes, that we're still willing to do it. Because a lot of times what the Lord asks us to do doesn't fit the mold. It just doesn't fit the mold that anybody else has figured. That's why it's wisdom. If wisdom was just filling in a mold, just fitting in a mold, then anybody could have it. But it's not. Wisdom is hearing from the Lord. That's why all through the Bible, the ones that Jesus talks about, the ones the Bible lifts up, are the ones that were despised in history because they walked to a different drum. They walked to the music of the Lord instead of what everybody else around them was doing. Wisdom sometimes means that we've got to change our minds. That we've got to go on and learn something new. You know, the thing about it is sometimes we work so hard to figure something out or to understand something. And we finally get a couple of answers, and they just kind of like light bulbs going off and an answer. This is the way we need to do things. And so we just start doing them. And then the next week, and we just think we're really, really just got it. Because we finally got something figured out. And so we start practicing it. And we start thinking that, boy, if I'm going to be faithful, I've just got to stand my ground and not let anything turn me from what God has told me to do this time. But sometimes, a little while later, God will show us something else. And the faithful just ignore that and just stay right on the path that they were on before. But the wise gets his mind changed. See, the wise guy isn't the one that's got everything figured out. The wise guy is ready to listen to the Lord wherever the Lord leads him. And we can't hardly stand that sometimes. That's hard on our religious pride. To say that, well, we all want it figured out. We all want some rock solid foundation that we can stand on. But you know, if you're standing on a rock, there's no faith there. The faith is when you're out on the water and you don't really know what you're standing on. But you know that the Lord has beckoned you to come. That's where faith is. Religion is the most faithless thing there is in the world. It doesn't take any, you know, they talk about which faith are you? Well, you're not a faith. You can't put faith in a box. It doesn't work that way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's exactly opposite of having my hopes and having everything right in front of me that I can see. The exact opposite of that. Our faith is in the Lord. How many times we've got our faith all mixed up? How many times I've met throughout my life people whose faith is when a day they got saved 40 years ago. And then go back to the time I got saved 40 years ago. Their faith is in a date. Their faith is in something, an experience. Their faith is when I met the Lord. And so they're right with God because they've had an experience. People get healed. People get delivered from something. And they trust in the deliverance and instead of the Lord. And those things are good. There's nothing wrong with them. But if our trust is in them, it's in the wrong place. It doesn't take any faith to have that. How many people's faith is because they're just a part of a faithful body? There's a good church. And so, I'm just sure everything's okay. Faith is trusting the Lord whenever no one else around you understands. That's what makes it a little difficult in a place where there's people that would support you there. Wisdom that the boys talked about. And I want to talk to you boys and young people. This isn't where I wanted to go this morning. Or I mean, this is, but I wanted to get there a different way. There's not much danger. Not much danger of most of you children just going out and getting drunk tonight. Or probably any time in the future because of the way you've been trained. There's probably not much chance that many of you are going to go out and start doing drugs. Most of you wouldn't even enter your mind. There's not much danger if you're going out and just doing bad things. I mean, it's there. You might be tempted, but you've been trained in a way that has warned you about those things in a careful way and in a good way. There's not a lot of danger in you just going out, just going off the deep end and going crazy. Out doing bad things, doing wrong things. The danger for the majority of you people is pride. It's pride. And I'm going to tell you, it'll send you to hell quicker than any of those other things that I mentioned. It's the most dangerous thing in the world that you will face. Because there's a tendency for people that are just doing what's right to look out and see people that are doing what's wrong, and that little devil of pride just begins to grow and grow and grow. And you can bow your head and pretend you're humble, you know, but in your heart, you know you've got it all fixed up. You know you're in good shape because you're not doing like they're doing. And children, oh, it's there. It's there from a young age. Well, I was going to title my message this morning. I'm going to read Matthew 23 about the Pharisees and how Jesus gave them the eight woes that he told, the eight woes to the scribes and Pharisees. And we just look back at those evil, dastardly scribes and Pharisees and just hate them guys. They were the ones that killed Jesus. We just look at them monsters, those scribes and Pharisees. Doesn't that, when you just hear those words, doesn't it think of a bad man, an evil people? How could anybody be so ugly? Today, this world is full of scribes and Pharisees. We don't call them that. because those are bad guys. People have the same spirit, same attitude, do the same things, reject Christ the same way when saying they love Him with their mouth. They're alive and well. And oftentimes, it's in the churches that seem to be doing the best, that seem to have it all in order. They're not, these Pharisees, we've got a completely mixed up mind about, they weren't a bunch of snidely whiplashes back in the back corner scheming. They were nice people. They did their scheming when they had to. But it wasn't something that they had just planned to do. They hated God. They hated the Lord. And He was messing up their plans. And they had to fix it. Jesus said that there will come a day when people will kill you thinking they're doing God a service. These people were thinking they were doing God's will. They thought that they were carrying out the will of the Lord. They didn't think they were doing anything evil. They were protecting the Holy Grail. They were guarding everything that was good and right, they thought. And yet, they were the ones that tried to put the light out. The devil is not going to come. You know, we've got this image of the devil. He's got a red suit and a pitchfork and a long shiny tail. The devil's not going to come scary looking or mean looking or telling you things that are just transparent and wise. The devil's going to come, and he's going to be the nicest guy you've ever met. He's going to be just, wow. They just really got it together. It's going to be friendly. I mean, how many of you have ever bought something off of someone that was, and you got cheated, that just told you everything that was wrong with the thing, and just didn't know what they were selling you? Just bumbling around, and you usually think, "Ugh, I'm not buying that thing," and you walk away from it. And then the next time, there's a guy that just tells you, "Oh man, this just, you just think it's just wonderful, and he's nice, and he's a really nice guy." And then he sells you a vacuum cleaner for $600, and you don't know how you're going to pay for it, and he quits in 6 months. But he was a nice guy. That's how the devil shows up. He doesn't always look like what he is. That's the way it is with these scribes and Pharisees. They were nice guys a lot of times. They were friendly guys. They were able to get your ear talking religion and dazzle you with how much they knew the Bible. Show you all kinds of things. And take you home and feed you real good. But in the same breath, find someone that's trying to follow Jesus and they won't have nothing to do with them. Talk to a man this week. He was concerned because we weren't meeting the standards that he thought we ought to be meeting. He talked about not having any electricity, and they go out and work in the field, and they all live together, and they just work together so well, and then they work out, and then they go into their house that don't have air conditioning, and they go into the church, and then they sing hymns about martyrs. And I told him, you know, the sad thing is, is that I know a lot of people that are singing hymns about martyrs that have just kicked one out in the street and won't let him come in and sing hymns with you. They excommunicate him because he didn't meet your little box. I told him, you know, we talk about people who say they're Christians. And then one day, when they die, or they just live however they want to. They just live the way they want to. But say that when they die, they're going to heaven, that they can live however they like. And then when they die, God's just going to poof, change them into just a wonderful person. And I know that most of us would realize that's not how it's going to be. But I said the thing about it. I know another group of people that they go hide in a little group all by themselves. They won't fellowship with anybody else because nobody can reach their standard. And they won't commune with each other. They won't greet each other. They won't give the Lord's blessings to each other. But then one of these days, when they die, they're going to all of a sudden go to heaven and everybody's going to get along just fine. What is the difference? There is none. It's amazing how two extremes can believe the exact same things and be so opposite and so against each other and think both of each other are wrong. We're in a war. And the war is not with each other. Our war is with the devil. And the only thing that we can do is to have a heart that remembers the God that can count the stars, call them by name, that can count all the little fishes that are floating in the stream, that died upon a cross when he came to this earth. All we can do is hang our head and say, "Thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done." If we get any higher than that, we've missed it. Get any higher than that, and it's all just self-made religion that's absolutely worthless. That is more dangerous than the sinner out there on the street. You see the difference? I don't know, I've told people this. We've had more success taking drug dealers off the street than we have Amish people. A drug dealer knows he's wrong. A drug dealer can see himself. But you put a moral attitude of religion, whatever religion it is, you put a high moral tone of a religion, and they can do no wrong. You can't change a person like that. There's been more success bringing people off the street that know they're wrong than taking someone out of a religious setting, no matter what it is, and getting them to humble themselves. Because all that religious stuff looks so good. Jesus told these scribes and Pharisees, he said, "You travel sea and earth, you go compass land and sea to make a proselyte. Twofold the child of hell that you are." what good is that? To make someone more religious than you are. Jesus didn't have much for it. But if we could find someone that sees God, that humbles their heart, and just walk with them, then you've got something. May the Lord add His blessing. May the Lord help us to see ourselves who we really are in His sight and to never forget it. Never forget it. And just walk this life, go through what He wants us to go through. Be faithful to Him. Even though people may disagree, we can disagree with people. That doesn't mean we've got it figured out. We can disagree. But we can't disagree about who we are in the Lord's sight. He sees through all of that. May the Lord add His blessing. Anyone have anything you want to share?
Appreciate the messages. Appreciate talking to young women about pride.
Praise the Lord.